This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Ever wondered how to turn flight delays, lost baggage, and even Uber rides into thousands of Delta miles? Today's guest is spilling all the insider secrets on navigating travel disruptions and maximizing your points and miles. From growing up flying in a family Cessna to booking luxury trips to the Maldives in business class, Janelle has cracked the code on getting the most out of Delta Airlines. Stick around to hear how she earned over 200,000 SkyMiles in 1 year just by knowing what to do when your travel plans don't go as, well, planned, and how you can as well.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome everyone to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch. Today, we're thrilled to have an amazing guest joining us, Janelle Rupp-Kelvis, also known as Janelle on a Jet. Janelle is a seasoned travel expert specializing in all things Delta Airlines, understanding traveler rights when things go wrong, and maximizing points and miles. So Janelle's here today to share her insider tips, practical advice, and a wealth of knowledge that every traveler needs to hear. So as someone who I know knows a lot about traveling in first class, I think this is going to be a first class conversation. Janelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here today.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Janelle. So first question, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you get started in the world of travel and to the level that you are at today?
So I started traveling years ago. My grandparents are private pilots. They have a Cessna 180. They've been flying their whole lives. So I was on a plane as a baby. They're flying me to Canada, to Colorado, all of these little fly-ins. So I was around people who loved to travel. But I also grew up kind of with the notion that that was the only way I really could travel was with my family and my grandparents. We didn't have a lot of extra money to go around to spend on travel. There weren't a lot of resources to learn about travel like there is today with, you know, just even the internet, for example, to learn about things like points and miles and how that changed. So I didn't grow up going many places outside of wherever we could fly with this little Cessna or road trip. And then I was an engineer after I graduated college. I started traveling to places all over the world with that engineering job, which kind of opened my eyes to travel. And I learned that I wanted to learn more about how to do this more often. So that's when I kind of got into the world of points and miles. I attended a seminar back in, I think, 2018 it was. I went by myself. It was a one-day seminar that I learned so much that day, and it kind of like opened my eyes and blew my mind. And so that's kind of how I became the advocate within my own friend group, like my own little influencer in my circle of like, you guys, these things are really cool. Like these credit card points, look what we can do. I was still flying like economy and like not using it for luxury type vacations. I was staying in hostels when I would land and, you know, all of that. I was saving all my points just for economy flights. I didn't want to waste them on hotels in my mind back then. But that got me into this world. So I started talking about it online. And the more that people saw kind of what I was doing online, I got more questions and I started posting about it more and more. So it's really cool. The followers who've been there kind of from the beginning stages, they saw me going from an economy traveler, staying in hostels when I land, like locking my work laptop up to my little hostel bunk because I was there for a work trip sometimes too, to now I'm staying, you know, we're headed to the Waldorf Astoria in the Maldives in a week. We're flying business class round trip there, you know, doing those sorts of bucket list type adventures.
That is super cool. And have you been to the Maldives before?
Yes, we went 2 years ago and we stayed at the Conrad when we were there. So I saw some Waldorf Astoria availability open up for reward nights and I snagged that probably like 10 or 11 months ago.
Super cool. I'm super excited for you. Have not stayed there. Did the Park Hyatt and a couple other places.
Oh, nice.
But, you know, Maldives is such a beautiful country to go to. So I know that you literally, like, within the last few hours have arrived back from CES in Las Vegas, and Delta had a huge presence there, and I know you are the Delta girly. So I got to know, what's the news? What's exciting? What's Delta coming out with here that they announced that's, you know, just within the last couple of days as of this recording?
Their announcements, they came out with so many. It was actually mind-blowing. Like, I expected a couple of things maybe, you know, to come up with this announcement. It's their 100-year anniversary this year. I'm wearing their merch here from the event. And I expected there to be a lot of looking back where they were for 100 years. And there was definitely a portion of that in the keynote that Ed Bastian, their CEO, did at the Sphere. But they announced things like the Uber partnership. So both Uber and Uber Eats, if you are taking Ubers or ordering food, you can earn miles that way. We'll learn more about that program as it gets officially rolled out, I believe, later this spring. That was a huge announcement. They are doing a ton of different things within your seatback experience. So they're going to really revamp kind of they rolled out Delta Sync, but they're coming out with, I guess, like a version 2 of that, which will make your experience so much more personalized. You'll be able to select meals from the back of your seat, put Do Not Disturb up. They're going to roll out Bluetooth connectivity to all of the seats. So now you can use your wireless headphones to connect to your entertainment, which is huge. They only have that right now in first class on a certain aircraft type. So it's very rare, depending on the routes you're flying, whether or not you're going to get that. 4K screens are coming. They announced a partnership with Joby, which is a new aviation company. They will end up competing or working similarly as Blade does, but they're not a helicopter. Look them up. Their whole aircraft is interesting. It's like not an airplane. It's not a helicopter. It's like kind of something in between, but their whole purpose is to be able to bring you from your helipad that's near your house to the airport in like 10 minutes. So they're going to start, it sounds like, in LAX and JFK to help speed some of that stuff. They announced a DraftKings partnership, a YouTube partnership. Tom Brady was there. He came out and he's doing a series on wellness that will be available on the back of the seats. So just an on-flight experience that you can have there. So lots of things were rolled out, as well as Delta Concierge. That's their new AI that they're releasing. I don't know what the date is on that, but it should, I would assume, sometime soon within the first half of the year would be my guess. And that is meant to be like your personal travel assistant. So they showed us some examples, but one of the things that like stuck out to me was like traffic to the airport. What are the best ways to get there? They can call you rides and like do certain things. So you can just keep packing. I mean, for me, so I have so many work trips sometimes where you're running from place to place. I think that'll be a huge benefit for those travelers who are maybe a little bit more chaotic in some of their travels, in the sense where we got meetings, we're trying to get to the airport, we're managing all of this stuff, and to have someone there being like, hey, you got to leave to the airport now. There was an accident, traffic's heavier. Those sorts of things I think will be huge for a day-to-day experience when you are in and out of airports like a lot of us travelers are.
So I'm super curious, you know, how did you get so connected with Delta? Me personally, I'm a big American Airlines fan and flyer, and I often get jealous on Delta's entertainment versus American, because I'll take long cross-country flights on American and there's like no entertainment on the seat. I mean, granted, we have our iPads and all the things, but you know, I feel like Delta, it could be like a 30-minute flight and you still have seat back entertainment. So I know Delta's got a lot of really good things going for them, but how'd you get so connected with Delta yourself specifically?
I have always lived in a Delta base. So I'm from Minnesota. I lived in Michigan, and then now I live in Seattle. So I've always been flying their planes a lot. And when I started traveling for work, it was so natural that I was starting to fly them more and more. I would pick a layover with Delta over a direct flight with someone else if it happened to work out that way, because I was starting to earn status and all of that. And with that came me annoying the shit out of them online. I was tagging them in everything. Like every time I'd put a photo up, this is pre like Instagram stories and all of that, but like anytime I had a photo, and I kind of would pay attention to their socials, and I was like, oh, Delta likes photos where your face is really in it. They want it so people can feel like they're in the photo. So you've got to like have the back of your head. So I was kind of like studying their social media in a sense and trying to figure out like what photos do they like where they want to maybe repurpose my stuff. So then they started asking to use my images and that sort of thing. And naturally I'm at the same time as this, I'm learning more and more about the SkyMiles program. I went from being just a SkyMiles member to then having silver status 1 year. And then after silver status, I've had diamond status ever since. And that was like 8 years ago now. So as I'm learning about the program, I continue to talk about that online. And so it just became a natural partnership. I think when they started looking into influencer marketing and getting into this influencer sphere as it became more serious, I'm someone who's already talking about them organically. I talk about them a lot. I work with them now in an official capacity, but I talk about them in a lot of non-official capacities too. Like I'm consistently talking to my audience about them and I'm flying them and there's just a lot of touch points. So from a brand standpoint, they can look at my page and say, this makes sense why we would work with her. Her audience knows her as the Delta girl. Like she's talking about us when we aren't paying her to talk about us too, like all of these things. And so, and my family and whatnot has been involved in the Delta sphere for so long that going to these events is really cool. People who are a part of this Delta sphere, it's kind of like drinking the Kool-Aid, you know, like you want all the little merch, you want all these little things. And my family's someone who does, you know, really drink the Kool-Aid and care about that stuff. So it comes through in the content and it feels very genuine, just like the Delta onesie stuff that I've done in the past. And I bought my onesie, but my Delta, that content did really well. Delta sent my dad a onesie too. I was like, I think he would want one. So he did a whole unboxing, you know, it's just really like natural ways to weave it in and out. And I think that's the best way to start working with brands is I tell people all the time, talk about them organically, tag them and everything. Like if you're flying them, make sure you're tagging them. And now we have stories and all of these other avenues to at least get a brand's attention. Or when they see your message stream, they can see that, oh, you've tagged them so many times, you know, and they have that history.
Very cool. Well, Janelle, what are some of the lesser known travel tips or tricks that you would recommend that someone take advantage of when it comes to Delta?
I think number one is the bags on time policy that they have. So Delta and Alaska have this policy where it's for domestic flights. If you check a bag and it doesn't reach the carousel within 20 minutes from the door of the plane opening, they will give you 2,500 miles. Delta makes it easier to claim the miles. Alaska, you have to like go up to a representative at the airport, blah, blah, blah. I've never done it on Alaska. I don't know how to claim it, but I know that you have to actually go to a person. Delta is a form. I need my SkyMiles number, my confirmation number, the date I flew and where I flew, and my name. I would hope you know your name. But like those five pieces of information, and you submit the form, you have 3 days to submit it. I just submitted it on my Uber home. I don't even bother timing it anymore. I used to time the bags, but it's like Delta system times it for me. I'll just submit the form and they'll tell me whether or not they did it. Like I don't need to track it. This proof does nothing for me, you know? So you don't have to send any screenshots, nothing. So that's one of my favorite ways you can earn.
So you don't have to tell them that your bag took like, you know, 22 minutes and 37 seconds. They're not looking for that piece.
Nope. Their system does all the tracking. So it's like, that's why I started realizing, why am I wasting my time even bothering to start a timer? I'll just submit the form. Like I have all this information. I'm sitting in an Uber most of the time anyways on my way home. So yeah, I'm like what we'll do sometimes too is we'll just populate it while we're standing at the carousel. So then once we get our bag, we can just press send and they'll tell us. So on this trip to Vegas, I got the 2,500 miles on the way to Vegas. My bag was on time on the way back, so I didn't get it there. But I would say 9 out of 10 times. It depends on your airport, of course, and how often you're flying, like what times you're flying, if there's, you know, other factors going into it. But I'd say 9 out of 10 times I get the 2,500 miles, and that's each way. So if you have a free check bag because of your status, your credit card, whatever, and you can spare a few extra minutes to wait for the bag, I would say it's an easy way to rack up points.
Do you any idea how many points that, or Delta SkyMiles you racked up last year with this? Do you any guess just with the baggage claim?
I do have a number. I don't have it in front of me, but this is a little teaser. If you buy Brian Kelly's book that's coming out, How to Win at Travel, there might be a number in there that has the exact amount that I've earned from Bags on Time, as well as different complaints and things that I've gone through in that process. Like if my flight is delayed, I'll, you know, put a little complaint in and I get miles, and that has all of it in there. I think my total, not just including Bags on Time, that including the complaints, that number, I remember in one calendar year, I earned 204,000 miles, Delta Sky miles, doing it that way.
Wow.
So everyone gives Delta a lot of crap, saying like Sky Pesos this. And I think their redemptions, if you're not buying them on a sale, they have really good flash sales and unannounced flash sales where you can find really good deals. If you're not buying on that, they can be really expensive. So I try to only buy during the flash sales. But the other side of it is they're actually really good on a customer service standpoint, because they will give you miles if things go wrong. Like my dad, his Wi-Fi didn't work on his flight from Minneapolis to Las Vegas. He got 5,000 miles for that. We had from Seattle to Taipei, our entertainment systems didn't work for about 3 hours. There were some issues. It did finally get resolved, but about the first 3 hours of the flight, it wasn't working. And I got 12,000 miles from that. I've gotten 20,000 miles from delays. Like, it's crazy. So they give out miles too. So I feel like if you're asking for them, you can earn those miles pretty quickly.
So for the listeners out there, what's that conversation typically like, or that report, that email? I'm pretty sure you're not going there saying, hey, I demand miles. This was a disservice, yada, yada, yada. No. So what's that actually look like? How do you say, hey, this is what happened? Yeah. What's next?
So there are two avenues for you to be able to go do this with Delta. And I'm going to talk about I'll talk about both, but first we'll talk about texting them. I like to text because you have a screenshot of the conversation in case something doesn't go right. It's just easier. I can just type it all out and have it done. I don't know. I'm just a texter when it comes to these sorts of things, but I use the texting platform for smaller complaints, like maybe a delay or my screen not working, or, you know, just things that were an inconvenience, but it didn't ruin my entire trip. Things weren't crazy. And I just text them and I say, hey, I was on this flight. Here's what happened. This was a major inconvenience. Is there any compensation available for this? And that's it. And so then I'll go through that avenue. I have noticed representatives have been pushing you towards the second option more often lately. I sometimes push back a little bit and just say, hey, I've gotten compensation through this route before from texting. Is there anything you can do like quickly? I just don't want to go through that. And they'll come back and, you know, offer me miles. I don't know if there must have been a training or something, I'm assuming, because it felt like it was overnight that they were like, hey, you should use this portal. But the second avenue is one that I kind of reserve for more larger things. Like, let's say your flight was delayed, you didn't get your bag for 3 days, or, you know, there was a huge issue in redeeming a certificate or something like that. Then I use the online portal, and it's the comments and complaints section on the website. Delta reads all of those things. There's a box you can check that say that you want a response. And so check that box, they will respond to you. They'll give you courtesy miles. We had a flight recently coming back. I've never had this happen before. I've never heard of it happening before. And we were flying from Miami to Seattle, and halfway through the flight, they ran out of potable water. So they basically just asked everyone to kind of like conserve their drinking water, like not to, you know, they had a bottle of water for you to wash your hands with in the bathroom. It was like, I just had never experienced that before. So I wrote in just about that, like, hey, this was a 6-hour flight. We were traveling with my cat who's around the corner here. And I was like, you know, that was a concerning thing we've never had. And they gave us, I think, 5,000 miles for that as well, or something. They sent their email through earlier this week. So those are kind of the weirder, more larger issues I go through the comments and complaints section.
Hey, everyone. I hope you're enjoying this week's episode. DeAndre here. And I just wanted to interrupt briefly to remind you of two things. First, be sure to sign up for our newsletter, where we give you direct access to travel updates, news you'll want to jump on in the points and miles world, and our continuously updated card offers to maximize your travel rewards, often before they're ever mentioned in the show. Also, if you didn't already know, we have a private Facebook group where we share news as it breaks, ideas, and other things that don't make it into the newsletter or show many times. And that's the best place to get your points and miles question answered directly by me and other travel enthusiasts. Both of these links will be in the show notes. Now, back to the show. Very cool. I appreciate you sharing that. I think when you talk about when things go wrong, that's a really great segue, because I know that's an expertise that you have in general, not just with Delta, but with just traveling in general. So let me ask you, when you're traveling, and this is good for, you know, really the beginner traveler as well as even the expert traveler, when trip disruptions happen, what should be your first course of action, right? Whether it's a serious delay, a cancellation, what should be next?
Your first course of action should be, if it's a flight issue, to get on a new flight. Like to get your flight stuff resolved. So make sure that you know what flight you're going to take. Look up your backup options, because here's the thing. If you're going through a delay, like a rolling series of rolling delays, and you're like, this might turn into a canceled flight, or you are in a situation where your flight is canceled, you are going to want to know what your options are, because you are going to now have 180 passengers or however many people that were on your flight who are going to be trying to get the last seats on some of these other flights that are available. So I think that is the number one priority, is getting rebooked. What I do when I have a cancellation, or I kind of see a cancellation coming, I'll call the airline in advance. If I'm like, hey, why is this delay happening? Is it mechanical? Is it, just the incoming flight was delayed, so, things should be fine from there. Finding out the reason is good. And you can ask airlines to, especially if you have status. I don't know how this would work if you don't have status or not, but they can basically save you a seat on some of these other flights, and you can then switch really easily. So I've done this before with Delta. You can ask them to put you on another airline. So some of these bigger airlines will have relationships. I've had a Delta flight that kept getting canceled. I had to get back for an event to Seattle, and I had them put me on an Alaska Airlines flight from Chicago, because their flight, I didn't know if it was going to take off or not. It did end up taking off, but I was like, this flight is going to be taking off. That it was a mechanical issue on my other one. So that's one of the things you can do right away. So when I'm getting off a flight or learn about this cancellation, I'm texting an agent, I'm calling an agent, and I'm standing by a button line waiting, whoever I can talk to first. You never know what's going to be the first avenue. I have found that texting actually can be really quick, because people are standing in line. You got, the massive aircraft that just got canceled. Everyone's standing in this line, and if they're not trying to talk to an agent through another way, you might be able to jump ahead of them virtually in that queue.
No, I like that advice that you gave. And there are some things I wonder, what can you do with or without status? We had a similar situation a couple of years ago. We were going to Greece, and there was a super storm in New York that shut down the airport for a period of hours. And so any and all flights going into New York were completely delayed and or canceled. And so we even drove from my home airport to Richmond, Virginia, which is 2 hours away, to fly out of there, because the one in our home airport was canceled. And we get to Richmond, it's like, hey, this is delayed. And long story short, the delay was so bad, we missed our American Airlines flight from JFK to Athens. And so reached out to American, did exactly what you did. I waited my butt in line. I was on the phone with the service operator from the Platinum Pro desk at the same time. And through some very nice convincing, I say, they bought both of us a plane ticket on Turkish Airways, which is not even a partner airline of theirs. they just straight up bought the Turkish Airways ticket for us to get to Greece. So we lost an entire day in Greece. We had to fly the back of economy, but we still got to Greece and got to see the Istanbul airport for the first time. But that's just, like you said, you got to fight for it, and you got to just know there's other options out there that you might not think is normal.
Yeah. And I think one key thing that you said there too is that you're nicely asking. Like, the thing is, these people are going to get yelled at by all of these people in front of them who are frustrated with the situation, but it's not the person in front of you's fault. They're trying to help you solve this problem. So being calm, you can express that, this is a big inconvenience. We are missing a day of our trip. What can you do for us? Like, what are our options? Being able to ask for creative solutions, like buying us a flight on a non-partner airline, that does happen. Decently often, it's never the first option that they ask, but I will always ask, hey, I see that this flight goes out in 2 hours from the same airport, let's say that I'm at, like if I'm JFK, I'm like, oh, I can see that this Alaskan airline flight is leaving in 2 hours. Can you get me on that flight? Typically a manager has to get involved in those sorts of things, but it never hurts to ask. I operate on a motto: if you don't ask, the answer is no. So I'm always trying to see if, what else can we do to make this solution. What else can we do to find a solution in a situation, even though it might not be either of our preferred options? I'd like to fly Delta. I want the miles. I want the credit. Like, I want to get my upgrades and do all of that. But at the end of the day, I want to go enjoy my trip and not stress about it also.
And so that's flight cancellations. What about flight delays or lost baggage? What do you suggest people do in scenarios like that? So a flight delay where it's not canceled, but now their flight's pushed back 6-7 hours. What type of options are available for the traveler then?
Yeah, so it really depends, all of this, even with flight cancellations, for compensation that you are entitled to, it depends on where you're flying and what's going on there. So each country or region or people under certain treaties and things and whatnot have different rules. So like the EU, if you have a flight that is delayed and or canceled, either situation, you are entitled to a certain, like a specific compensation level. It's called EU 261 and based on the distance that your flight is. So if we had a flight that was canceled from South Africa to Paris, we ended up taking a totally different route, but we were able to get compensated under EU 261 because of this policy where if you're flying into the EU, it doesn't even have to be an EU airline, but that basically if an airline is flying into the EU, they are accepting the EU's policies. Just like in the US, we have the US Department of Transportation. One of the things that the US Department of Transportation has is that you have 24 hours after you book your flight if you want to cancel it, and you can get all of your money back. So if any airline is operating in the US, they are saying, yes, we will abide by these policies. So each region is a little bit different. Look up EU 261 and the Montreal Convention for different expenses that you can get reimbursed for. But there's also courtesy stuff that airlines will do. And I think it's good to know what you're actually entitled to based on the US Department of Transportation and those things we talked about. But looking at and asking just, hey, are there miles for this? Is there anything that you can offer me for this inconvenience? I will say when it comes to compensation, I do recommend texting or email instead of phone calls. I've had a couple scenarios where I've been told incorrect things, but I had screenshots of it. So I was able to get reimbursed above the limits of what the actual policy says because someone told me incorrectly. And if that was a phone call, it would be a lot more difficult for me to be able to get that compensation.
Awesome. Love all of that advice. Last thing before we get a little bit more to the points and miles world, what about disruptions in travel when it comes to hotels? Anything that you have to offer there?
I'm always asking for points there too. I do think that hotels are, it's harder to get stuff, I think, from like managers, but you can go up and ask the front desk. I normally send emails. The other thing too, is I look at this, it's not that you're just out here complaining. You're letting them know like where certain things maybe went wrong within their system. So you can also use these same spots online to give compliments. I had an amazing pilot yesterday. So today my plan is to go in and actually put a little like kudos to him online. And I want him to be recognized for that. So you can use these same portals for positive things. But I do think that it's a great way for them to know when something didn't go right, because this is all data. Everyone talks about data these days and whatnot, and you are giving them data points where stuff didn't work well, or how they might not see that there's a break in what they're providing. For example, this is sort of hotel related, but more so Delta Vacations is a credit that I can choose. I can get a $500 credit for Delta Vacations, which includes flight and hotel. And I get that with being Diamond status. I selected that as one of my choice benefits. And I could not find this credit in my email. I was calling, I'm trying to figure this out to use this thing. It's buried somewhere. And the issue was the way that they have it online for me to select it has either like a trademark symbol or, you know, a registered symbol, but in the email so I'm copying and pasting their exact verbiage in my email to search and nothing's popping up. But in the email where they give you the actual code, it's missing that. So it was never popping up for me when I was searching my email. That's such a weird situation, but it happens to people where they're then not going to be able to use these credits. Email, you know, put the little complaint in and let them know that like, hey, this is a very simple fix that like, if you could fix this one thing, I think you're going to save a lot of headaches and a lot of frustration. So at any point when you're dealing with either hotels or airlines, I'm asking blatantly for compensation. Is there any compensation available? I'm never demanding it, but making sure that you're letting them know just like, hey, here's how things went wrong. Here's how you can make it better, in my opinion.
Awesome. So transitioning more to the points and miles world, specifically when it comes to Delta SkyMiles, outside of just your butt being in the seat, any really cool ways to earn Delta SkyMiles efficiently?
Yeah, I think through the credit cards is a great way to earn some credits, because by holding the Platinum or the Reserve card or both, you can get an MQD boost. So for status, you can get a $2,500 per card MQD boost. So basically, I think that's what it is off the top of my head. But you can basically earn silver status if you hold both of those cards, without even touching an airline seat. I think it's a really easy way to kind of get you to the next level. They switched their program this year. It's actually more similar to like American Airlines now, where you could technically earn all of your status without ever stepping foot onto an airplane based on spend on credit cards and using some of their portals and things like that. One of my favorite ways to earn sports status recently has been different promos that they're running to book hotels through their portal. So you won't get your hotel status credit through that. But if I'm going to places like we went to Taiwan, unless we were staying in Taipei City, there aren't a lot of like Marriott, Hilton, Hyatt properties there anyways. So I'm not going to be earning towards status. I'm staying in a different type of property. So using some of those avenues to book those types of hotels when you're in regions where you're not staying at these properties, that I think makes a huge difference. We were able to earn, I think I earned last year by doing some of my hotels that 2,500 or 3,000 MQDs towards status on that. But you can earn miles through shopping portals. You're earning miles on all of that stuff as well. I think just I'm always trying to find places where I'm earning both miles and status if I can. But link your accounts. Like they partner with Starbucks, they partner with Lyft. I earn a decent amount of miles per year just through Lyft because it's automatically connected. That will now switch to Uber moving forward in the new partnership that they have. And then using their shopping portals, you know, when you're going in and trying to buy Christmas presents, birthday presents, earn your miles that way too.
Got it. And before we wrap this one up, when it comes to 2025, we're in a new year. What are you super excited about in general from a points and miles standpoint? Is there a special status that you're going to be chasing after outside of Delta to that's going to be new for you or outside of the amazing trips, obviously? Any first class flight experiences that you're really going after? What is on the docket for Janelle on a jet in 2025?
I would really love to fly Etihad and fly one of their first class products. That's on the list. I also really want to try Turkish Airlines. Basically, I want to expand my business class selections. I've flown pretty much every, I think, aircraft configuration that Delta has to offer. I've flown a lot of other, like Qatar. I'm flying KLM coming up. I've flown Air France a bunch. I've flown a lot in business class, but I really want to expand and try some of the top tiered business class and first class products. I flew ANA first class for the first time about a year ago, and that was incredible. I had a great time flying that. That kind of changed my mind, but I want to be able to compare a little bit more. I think the thing I'm most excited right now for is the Waldorf Astoria property coming up. It's not just a top property. It is the flagship Waldorf Astoria property. So I'm expecting great things from this. I hope it really raises the bar in terms of what I can expect from a stay. So I'm excited for that. And I just hope I get more luxury experiences coming up. We're not flying economy anymore. I'm in my 30s. I'm like, I want the lay-flat seats. I want to get a nice little glass of champagne and cozy up on whatever nice pillow they give me.
That's incredible. So that's what's exciting for 2025. And circling back, I know we talked a little bit off air that last year, from a points and miles standpoint, you didn't open up too many new cards, but you've been in the game for a while. And so I'm curious, I know last year was maybe only just one or two. How many cards do you think you open in 2023? And I know that set up your 2024. And you have to guess, how many do you think you have in total that are active right now in the points and miles world for you?
I probably opened 8 or 9 in 2023, especially because I started my business in 2023. So I was able to get into a lot more of the business credit card side of things. I think now I probably have 13 or 14 active cards, if I had to guess. But the best part is my player 2 is what I've been focusing on. He's opening all of the new cards. That's what I just got him set up. Like I'm utilizing player 2 right now. I need to get my 524 under wraps a little bit. So we've taken a step back on my stuff and I'm totally using him to start opening cards and getting those points right now.
I love that. Absolutely love that. Janelle, this has been great. Where can the listeners follow you? How can they follow the Delta girly, the journey, all the things?
I am on Instagram, TikTok, if it still exists when this comes out, and YouTube under Janelle on a Jet. So Janelle on a Jet. And you'll find me there.
Very nice. Janelle, any last tips, insights, thoughts when it comes to Delta, travel, anything like that before we wrap this one up?
Use the points and book the trips. Don't let them sit there. Stuff gets devalued constantly. Programs are constantly changing. They will constantly change. Use the programs for what they exist today. be fluid with them when they change in the future, and don't let these points sit and get devalued over time. This is not like you're earning interest on them by setting them in a high yield savings account. They are getting devalued if you're not using them. So go out and actually fly somewhere and enjoy these points.
Solid, solid, solid advice. Thank you so much. All right, last question for you, Janelle. So Jackie with Maximizing My PTO was the one who said, hey, we got to get you on the episode. And so this was absolutely fantastic, phenomenal advice, great information on all things Delta as well as travel disruptions. And so I'm actually had some baggage issues on a recent flight with American. I'm about to reach out to them because I completely reminded me that I need to do that. So my question for you is, who else do you think we should have next on the show that's in the points and miles travel creator space, whatever it may be, or just a travel expert in general like yourself?
If you haven't had One Girl Wandering on your podcast yet, I think she's a great guest that you could have. She exists. She does points and miles. Like, she uses them. She's not as like deep into the world that we are, but I think she's a very normal consumer of points and miles, someone who likes them, has some cards, but she also runs a lot of group trips. And so I think from a group trip standpoint, talking about traveling with a group, she's a creator who has built this amazing community of group travel. And I think she's a great person to have to learn about that side of it, because if you are someone who maybe wants to travel and doesn't know where to start, doesn't have family and friends who either want to go with you or are able to go with you because of certain limitations, that is a great way to kind of get into this world, is through group travel. And she's inspired me to start my own group trips. That she's the reason I have hosted 4 group trips so far, and I think it's really fun. And I've gone on 2 or 3 at least group trips as a traveler myself, and they are just a different experience. So I think she could be a great guest to have here.
I appreciate that. We'll reach out to her. And I am a fan of group trips as well. Been to some incredible destinations and countries on group trips by myself with other solo travelers. And it's a really cool experience when you get to do that.
Yeah, totally.
Janelle, this was absolutely fantastic. Thank you for being on the show today. A lot of great insight, a lot of great wisdom. Thank you for taking the time out today.
Thank you for having me. I hope everyone got a little tidbit of information that they can take forward in their travels.
Absolutely. I know that they did. And for the listeners out there, if you like this episode, don't forget to like, subscribe, share, tell your friends, do the ratings, all the things. Follow Janelle and Ajet everywhere she goes, both on social media and everywhere else as well. Maybe you want to take one of her group trips as well. And as always, we'll see you on the next episode. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I, I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.